Tomodius a brief history of tomorrow. Information wants to be free. Like capitalism, dataism too began as a neutral scientific theory, but is now mutating into a religion that claims to determine right and wrong. The supreme value of this new religion is information flow. If life is the movement of information, and if we think that life is good, it follows that we should extend, deepen, and spread the flow of information in the universe. According to dataism, human experiences are not sacred, and Homo sapiens is not the apex of creation or the precursor of some future Homo Deus. Humans are merely tools for creating the Internet of all things, which may eventually spread out from planet Earth to cover the whole galaxy and even the whole universe. This cosmic data processing system would be like God. It will be everywhere and will control everything, and humans are destined to merge into it. This vision is reminiscent of some traditional religious visions. Thus, Hindus believe that humans can and should merge into the universal soul of the cosmos, the Atman. Christians believe that after death, saints are filled by the infinite grace of God, whereas sinners cut themselves off from His presence. Indeed, in Silicon Valley, the dataist prophets can consciously use traditional messianic language. For example, Ray Kurzweil's book of prophecies is called The Singularity is Near, echoing John the Baptist's cry, "The kingdom of heaven is near." Dataists explain to those who still worship flesh and blood mortals that they are overly attached to outdated technology. Homo sapiens is an obsolete algorithm. After all, what's the advantage of humans over chickens? Only that in humans, information flows in much more complex patterns than in chickens. Humans absorb more data and process it using better algorithms. In day-to-day language, that means that humans allegedly have deeper emotions and superior intellectual abilities. But remember that according to current biological dogma, emotions and intelligence are just algorithms. Well then, if we could create a data processing system that absorbs even more data than a human being and that processes it even more efficiently, would not that system be superior to a human in exactly the same way that a human is superior to a chicken? Dataism isn't limited to idle prophecies. Like religion, it has its practical commandments. First and foremost, a dataist ought to maximize data flow by connecting to more and more media and producing and consuming more and more information. Like other successful religions, dataism is also missionary. Its second commandment is to connect everything to the system, including heretics who don't want to be connected. And everything means more than just humans. It means everything. My body, of course, but also the cars on the street, the refrigerators in the kitchen, the chickens in their coop, and the trees in the jungle. All should be connected to the Internet of all things. The refrigerator will monitor the number of eggs in the drawer and inform the chicken coop when a new shipment is needed. The cars will talk with one another, and the trees in the jungle will report on the weather and on carbon dioxide levels. We must not leave any part of the universe disconnected from the great web of life. Conversely, the greatest sin is to block the data flow. What is death if not a situation when information does not flow? Hence, dataism upholds the freedom of information as the greatest good of all. People rarely manage to come up with a completely new value. The last time this happened was in the 18th century, when the humanist revolution preached the stirring ideals of human liberty, human equality, and human fraternity. Since 1789, despite numerous wars, revolutions, and upheavals, humans have not managed to come up with any new value. All subsequent conflicts and struggles have been conducted either in the name of the three humanist values, or in the name of even older values such as obeying God or serving the nation. Dataism is the first movement since 1789 that created a really novel value, freedom of information. We must not confuse freedom of information with the old liberal ideal of freedom of expression. Freedom of expression was given to humans and protected their right to think and say what they wished, including their right to keep their mouths shut and their thoughts to themselves. Freedom of information, in contrast, is not given to humans. It is given to information. Moreover, this novel value may impinge on the traditional freedom of expression by privileging the right of information to circulate freely over the right of humans to own data and to restrict its movement. On 11th of January 2013, dataism got its first martyr when Aaron Swartz, a 26-year-old American hacker, committed suicide in his apartment. Swartz was a rare genius. At 14, he helped develop the crucial RSS protocol. Swartz was also a firm believer in the freedom of information. In 2008, he published the Guerrilla Open Access Manifesto that demanded a free and unlimited flow of information. Swartz said that we need to take information wherever it is stored, make our copies and share them with the world. We need to take stuff that's out of copyright and add it to the archive. We need to buy secret databases and put them on the web. We need to download scientific journals and upload them to file sharing networks. We need to fight for guerrilla open access. Swartz was as good as his word. He became annoyed with the JSTOR digital library for charging its customers. JSTOR holds millions of scientific papers and studies and believes in the freedom of expression of scientists and journal editors, which includes the freedom to charge a fee for reading their articles. According to JSTOR, if I want to get paid for the ideas I created, it's my right to do so. Swartz thought otherwise. He believed that information wants to be free, that ideas don't belong to the people who created them, and that it is wrong to lock data behind walls and charge money for entrance. He used the MIT computer network to access JSTOR and downloaded hundreds of thousands of scientific papers, which he intended to release onto the internet so that everybody could read them freely. Swartz was arrested and put on trial. When he realized he would probably be convicted and sent to jail, he hanged himself. Hackers reacted with petitions and attacks directed at the academic and governmental institutions that persecuted Swartz and that infringe on the freedom of information. Under pressure, JSTOR apologized for its part in the tragedy and today allows free access to much of its data, though not to all of it. To convince skeptics, dataist missionaries repeatedly explained the immense benefits of the freedom of information. Just as capitalists believe that all good things depend on economic growth, so dataists believe all good things, including economic growth, depend on the freedom of information. Why did the USA grow faster than the USSR? Because information flowed more freely in the USA. Why are Americans healthier, wealthier, and happier than Iranians and Nigerians? Thanks to the freedom of information. So if we want to create a better world, the key is to set the data free. We have already seen that Google can detect new epidemics faster than traditional health organizations, but only if we allow it free access to the information we are producing. A free data flow can similarly reduce pollution and waste, for example by rationalizing the transportation system. In 2010, the number of private cars in the world exceeded 1 billion, and it has since kept growing. These cars pollute the planet and waste enormous resources, not least by necessitating ever wider roads and parking spaces. People have become so used to the convenience of private transport that they are unlikely to settle for buses and trains. However, dataists point out that people really want mobility rather than a private car, and a good data processing system can provide this mobility far more cheaply and efficiently. I have a private car, but most of the time it sits idly in the car park. On a typical day, I enter my car at 8:04 and drive for half an hour to the university, where I park my car for the day. At 6:11, I come back to the car, drive half an hour back home, and that's it. So I'm just using my car for an hour a day. Why do I need to keep it for the other 23 hours? We can create a smart carpool system run by computer algorithms. The computer would know that I need to leave home at 8:04 and would route the nearest autonomous car to pick me up at that precise moment. After dropping me off at campus, it would be available for other users instead of waiting in the car park. At 6:11 sharp, as I leave the university gate, another communal car would stop right in front of me and take me home. In such a way, 50 million communal autonomous cars may replace 1 billion private cars, and we would also need far fewer roads, bridges, tunnels, and parking spaces. Provided, of course, I renounce my privacy and allow the algorithms to always know where I am and where I want to go.